Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life mister, segment serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Okay, massive show today. I've got a super juicy interview with a Hollywood actress that was facing major scandal, and I talked about it before. Her name's Charlotte Kirk. She is here. I also have more time with Lala Kent, where we get into the juiciest housewife stuff. I've got a ton of hot topics, but first, I want to remind you guys, I'm coming to the Tempe Improv February 4th and 5th. Go to heathermcdonald.net. Also, there now available are my tickets to the Brea Improv March 25th and 26th, and on the 27th, it is a live Juicy Scoop. Everything is at heathermcdonald.net. I also went to Vegas this weekend. Oh my God, best Vegas trip ever. I will get more into it on Patreon, including running into a major celebrity that I had a little issue with. We may have made up, we may have whatever. I've got Juicy Scoop. Also, I decided, what else do you do when you go to Balenciaga? You pretend like you are also dating Kanye West. So go to my Instagram, go to my TikTok at Heather McDonald, and you can see what it's like when I pretend that I'm dating Kanye West. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to me, what's really happening with Kanye West on Saturday was a lot. Or was it Friday? When was the birthday? Saturday, right? Saturday. Well, first of all, he drops this album, this song, where he is talking about buying the house across from Kim, that Kim took him to SNL only for him to see her kissing Pete Davidson. And in the song, he believes they were already dating. Why would you bring me there when you're already dating, kissing this guy that you're interested in? And he even says, I'm going to beat Pete Davidson's ass. Everyone goes crazy about that. Then we find out it's Shy, his daughter, who's number three in the family with Kim, her birthday, and she's sharing it with Stormy, which is, of course, Kylie and Travis Scott's daughter. They're having a big birthday party, and he goes and he does like a selfie in his car driving, saying he's so upset. He doesn't know where the birthday party is. No one will tell him where it is. He tried to call Tristan, and Tristan doesn't know where it is or won't tell him where it is. And everyone's like, this is so sad. And he's like, I'm done with this. I'm not going to lay down like the other Kardashian men. This is my daughter. And if I'm not there, she's only going to remember their dad was not there for her fourth birthday. Well, then I turn on TikTok and somebody posts that someone else at the party had done like a little story. And there is Kanye in a tank top and big fishing boots above his knee talking to Kris Jenner at the party. So I'm like, did they see his video and then invite him? Then Kanye comes back. People pick up this video where he says, I went to the party and I had a great time. Thank you. And meanwhile, there was an earthquake in the middle of the ocean that caused tsunami warnings all over, including LA and Orange County. So I come out of my beautiful massage at the Encore Spa only to find out that, you know, I didn't know if Kanye was going to go to Stormy's birthday and I didn't know if we were going to have a tsunami. So it was just so much to handle this weekend. See, here they are at the party. I have a photo of them at the party. He's got his fisherman boots on and a tank top. Kris is dressed very warmly. I just will never understand Kanye's dressing overly warmly when it's hot out and then wearing just sleeveless top when it's cold out. A very confusing dresser. Meanwhile, also confusing dresser, Machine Gun Kelly got a shift from the Foot Locker and went and wore that shirt to ask Megan Fox to marry him. That is not my joke. Everybody made jokes about the fact that he's wearing this like Beetlejuice, you know, Foot Locker type of shirt. And the ring is very unique and beautiful. It's like two pairs. One is an emerald and one is diamonds together. And they like you could wear them separately, but it's a nice, beautiful, unique ring. So now She is going to be Megyn Kelly. I've been calling her Megyn Kelly by mistake so much, and now Megan Fox will be Megyn Machine Gun Kelly. So congrats to them. Then sad, but Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet have split after 16 years together. And a lot of people were sad and some were trying to see where he was this weekend, you horny bitches. Okay. The palace has stripped Prince Andrew of his dukedom after the loss of the military titles. So that happened in England. Also, this just came out. Page Six is report. Sorry, New York Post is reporting that Ghislaine Maxwell will no longer fight to protect the identity of eight Johns who allegedly had sex with young women she and her billionaire pedophile pal, Jeffrey Epstein, procured for them. So a lawyer for Maxwell stated that in a letter to the federal judge this week that she would no longer object to the identities of the John Does. Okay, well, can we just make sure that they're in writing somewhere before she takes too long of a nap in her cell? Okay, can we just make sure, please? We would like to know. The Juicy Scoopers would like to know. Oh, my God. So much stuff has happened since Jamie Lynn Spears' book has come out. I have not read it. I don't know who's read it. Give me a book report. What else is in there? Is it even out yet? Maybe that's why nobody knows what the scoop is on it. She did the interview with Good Morning America, which I talked about. Britney Spears did not like that. Also, then Jamie said that, you know, her nudity is for shock value. Then Jamie's like, please, I've tried to call you Britney so many times. Why are we living this out publicly? Could we make it private? Well, really, you just wrote a book about your whole life. But she claims, Jamie Lynn, the book is about me. It's not about my sister. So, it says that she's, you know, pleading that you know, and then also that, again, a source said, yes, Britney is going to sit down with Oprah Winfrey and tell her side. Meanwhile, I follow Sam Lutfi. Wait, no, that's how I say it wrong. Sam Lutfi. Okay, Sam Lutfi. That was the guy that we always saw at the gas stations during that time, always with her. He was there when she went in the ambulance, you know, having her breakdown right before the 5150, right before the conservatorship. And I've asked him to come on my show a bunch of times. He won't. But he did tweet this. In 2007, when I asked Jamie Lynn to stay in LA with her sister, her response was that she didn't give an F about her and she wanted to quit her stupid show, meaning Zoe 101, and go home to Kentwood so that she can date boys and go hunting. She then got pregnant, giving her the perfect excuse to bail. I like this info. I think it tracks. Maybe she didn't want to be on Zoe 101. Maybe she didn't really, maybe she wasn't ready to be working that hard at 16 years old. And maybe she did like boning her boyfriend. Oh, by the way, so many people told me I had it wrong, that she has identified the father of her child. And that father has been in her child's life this whole time. And his name is Casey Aldridge. And he was like her boyfriend at home or whatever. There are blind items and conspiracy theories and stuff that wasn't necessarily, that maybe wasn't the father of the child. I don't know. These are all rumors. It's all alleged. I just wanted you to know that I got all your comments and notes. So thank you. I read everything. Meanwhile, he then retweeted Britney Spears, who went off and wrote this long thing about her sister. Just, she just said, you know, I think we both have to agree to the fact that the family has never been remotely as hard on you as they have been on me when what dad did to me. So it's just a very much sister competitive thing. I think in Britney's mind, she feels like she was the big sister. She established this stardom, established this connection for Jamie Lynn to walk into. And then when she needed Jamie Lynn was out for herself. And she didn't try to help her sister and she didn't stick up for her sister. And I think that is why Britney's like, F you. So there's a lot to it. You can go back and read all the stuff. It's pretty juicy. I don't know. Who is the serial sister? I don't know. You would all say, oh my God, it's Jamie Lynn. I also think Jamie Lynn was in a really weird position. And I think we cannot relate to it. We cannot relate to a family with the biggest pop star in the world and a girl that was born 10 years after the biggest pop star in the world. We cannot relate to it. It's super juicy. It's whatever happened to Baby Jane. It's Kim and Kyle Richards on a different level. It's so intriguing. And I hope that we get the real truth at some point. But there won't be no truth because it'll always be their each perspectives. Real Houses of Salt Lake City, hands down, some of by far the worst reunion looks ever. And I really think just all together, it was just so jarring. The colors, the, you know, the background of like icicles. It just, there were feathers, there were velvet, there were jewel tones. It was just a lot. But last night's episode was so juicy. And I talk more about the show in general and the weirdness of these women in general with Lala Kent. But as you know, Jen Shah is facing like 10 to 20 years in jail for fraud. She and Meredith don't like each other anymore. Meredith doesn't like her because she felt she was attacking her family and liking tweets and saying things about Meredith's son, Brooks, being a twink. Also, Meredith's son, Brooks, didn't like seeing Jen's vagina last season. She went and they filmed it. She was there. She was drunk and she was kicking out her leg. And then Jen said, you ruined my life because I have two teenage boys. And Brooks said he saw my vagina. And I don't care if he's a twink or not. My teenage boys didn't like knowing that Brooks told the world that he saw my vagina. And then Meredith says, well, Murillo and Crystal said they saw your vagina too. Who's Murillo and Crystal? Well, I guess there were two other girls or something that happened to be at the house that were also subjected to Jen's vagina. Then Jen said, but you hired a detective to look into me. And she's like, I hired a detective to look into all of you because my family was having threats. Okay, so step back, get away. And then all of a sudden, Meredith just gets really mad. And then they talk about the vagina. And then the final thing is Jen says, you and your 10 boyfriends. Well, Meredith and her husband, Seth, who loves to talk about other people's boobs and says he doesn't like to golf with his wife. I don't know if he's trying to be funny or weird, whatever. Now he's super sexual with Meredith. But for a while, they took a break. And I guess Meredith boned some dudes. And I don't really think it's a secret. Well, it's not now because she went on a reality show. But I think at one time, maybe it was meant to be a secret. I don't know if Brooks knows. I don't know if Jen's teenage boys don't know. Anyway, they don't like each other. Then I love this. Reality Von Teese, who I follow on Instagram, posted this post of Jen's where her tits are out and she wrote, wonder if your two boys think of this, since you're so worried about that, about the vagina. What do you think about the big titties? Listen, she's living every day like she might be going to jail because she might be. So do I blame her? Look, I was living this weekend like there was a tsunami. And then there was. So I'm glad I had fun. Okay. Let's see. Mary, so much juice with Mary. She's the cult leader. Again, talk a little bit more about Mary. But so much has been found out. Apparently her church has been boarded up. Someone on Reddit drove by, said it's boarded up. The sign is down. And also her mother, who all the rumors were that the mother, or at least Mary told us, that her mother originally wanted to take over the church for her grandmother, not Mary. Her mother did. And instead, the mother doesn't like her because Mary got bestowed by the dying grandma. Mary, my husband, Robert Sr. So she married her step-grandfather and became Mary, the cult leader. Now, Mary's mother and her stepfather, who looks very young, sit down with Up and Adam, and I think it airs tonight, and it's on YouTube, and basically is crying, saying, like, Mary is a victim of Robert Sr. This is just all so bizarre. The point is, I don't think it's a great church, okay? Sister Wives, oh my God. Last night, as you know, it's been COVID talk for 2 years. They have yet to dig a hole to build the homes on Coyote Pass. Basically, what's happening here is in this episode, we find it's coming Christmas of last year. So it's all over a year ago, Christmas of 2020. They're going to try to get together. They're going to quarantine, whatever. Couple things happened. Cody refers to his children as Janelle's kids and Christine's kids. We caught him last night talking about he and Robin, wife number four's children. He says, our kids. And then he says, I'm breaking my own rules. I'm going to a funeral for Janelle, wife number three's mother who died. Interesting story, he says, of how I met Janelle's mother. Okay. This is crazy. He says, Mary, wife number one, was friends with Janelle. And Janelle then introduced her mom to my dad, who already had several wives. So my dad married Janelle's mom before I then went on to marry Janelle. So not only is Janelle mom my mother-in-law, she's also my mom's sister wife. And she's also my stepmother. I don't even know. I guess you don't call your stepmother if you're in polygamy. Anyway, that woman passed. They didn't know if he could. Now we got the germies going because he went to a funeral. So they got a COVID test. He was free. He said, if I have COVID, Robin, wife number four, will not forgive me if I am not there for our kids on Christmas. Meanwhile, for 9 months, he never saw Christine's kids or barely and didn't see Janelle's kids. Janelle is going to forgive Cody because she doesn't really love, I don't think she's into them. But Christine, we see next week that Cody says to Christine, I don't want an intimate relationship with you anymore. And which she then says, Cody said he doesn't want an intimate relationship with me anymore. So I don't want to be in this marriage. This is what's kind of nice about polygamy is there's only one real wife. You're going to go, oh, isn't that wife number one, Mary? No, because Robin came into the marriage, wife number four, with two kids. And I guess they wanted health insurance or benefits or whatever. So he went to Mary and said, look, I like you the least out of all the wives, even though you were the first. So can we get divorced so that Robin can be my one legal wife? So she agreed. Meanwhile, they never told her that. Meanwhile, for the entire 9 months, she didn't see anybody leave her house. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you were following the COVID rules. I guess you can come over for Christmas, too. You guys, this show is so weird and so boring, and it's so weirdly comforting to me. I cannot stop watching it. And anyway, I think Robin is that girl that can get him to better come home, better not get COVID, better not piss me off. Even though he says Robin is the one who lets me be the head of the family, she follows all the rules. But she really is the master male manipulator of all the women because she's going to end up with him and she's not going to like it in the end, but she wants it right now. And I think she is the one that is saying, acting like she doesn't want him to sleep with Christine anymore. But I think he says, is starting to be like, I just don't want to sleep with these other wives anymore. He already hasn't slept with Mary in like 10 years. I don't know what's going on with Janelle. But now so that is why Christine leaves him. Next week is going to be worth it. If you've never watched, just watch. All right, you guys. Now for more of all this juicy scoop to talk about with Lala Kent. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I made Lala stay a little bit longer because we didn't even get to the housewives and some other hot topics. But I want to say one thing about Vanderpump in the workout clothes that Brock did.
Yeah.
It was like a cute little top, but then it had a cutout for the underboob.
Yes.
And I've been obsessed with the movement of
underboob.
Underboob cleavage. I should have that's even a thing. Undertit.
Undertit.
I believe you like to show a little under tit, or is it not intentional?
Love a good undertit.
Okay, you do.
Yeah.
And why, when did the undertit become a thing, and what makes you consciously like bring up your top so just undertit shows instead of giving you the support that you've been taught your whole life that a bra is made for?
I think any part of the tit is hot. So okay. I've always been like, what part works with this? Is it the side boob? Is it the cleavage?
I feel
is
like
it the undertit?
Side tit's getting really neglected lately.
Side tit is everything and it needs to come back.
Yeah.
However, when my mother told me that babies suck the life out of your tits, she's being for real, because I feel like I – like, mine are cute because they were never huge, so there wasn't much to, like, sag. But I just feel like they've had more life. So I'm going in to see a doctor to get these knockers done.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then you will see me side boob, nipple, cleavage.
Under tit,
all of it.
Okay.
Every part of the tit.
Speaking of under tits, there's no segue to this. I want to talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Because you are from Utah.
Yep. I'm from Salt Lake.
And you made a guest appearance on one of the shows last year.
Yep.
So you know the girls.
Yes.
So in general, let's just talk about what you think of this season. I mean, it's like they are an odd bunch of people.
They're very – it is an odd bunch. And, you know, the season started off so slow, and then all of the sudden, they just, like, punched us all in the face with greatness. I was like, these – women are giving me all the lives. I think it's the best housewives out there right now. Like this season is better than me watching, I feel, Erica Jane's drama.
Here's the thing. When people go, oh my God, they're so awful, I don't like them. Well, do you have to like them? Like, you know, they're really not likable. I mean, I like Heather.
Heather's great.
And Whitney seems fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would never have liked Jen. I really don't like Jen, and I didn't like her even before she was arrested. I really don't like Mary.
No,
she's
I don't like Mary
odd,
at all.
And we're going to get the latest. Meredith seems nice, but I don't understand her loyalty to Mary. I don't get that weirdness.
Isn't that strange?
That's the weirdest friendship pairing. Like, why would this lawyer? Do you know she was a lawyer?
Yes,
lawyer, highly educated businesswoman, classy girl from, you know, New York and Chicago, and now living in Salt Lake City. What in common would she have with a church leader as bizarre as Mary?
Yeah, no, I can't stand Mary. Do you think there was – I think there was something to what Bad Weather had said about maybe there being more
Heather
to the
– yeah. Heather and Whitney, yeah.
Heather and Whitney. How they said about the PI that was hired.
Yeah.
Maybe because the common ground for what's the crazy one's name?
Mary.
Again? Mary. Mary and Meredith. The common ground is we don't like Jen. And then maybe they like gossip together, and maybe the PI knew a lot of stuff, and now those two are the only people that know about it.
And maybe the PI knew stuff about either one of them. So
it could,
maybe like they
But
have
they're
a
all saying that maybe Mary knows too much about Meredith, so she's keeping her tight.
Mm.
Something's going on there because it is a strange match.
Well, so the last episode that we saw was, you know, they had they went to a pool thing, and Heather's being very nice to Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what's going to happen with her case.
Right.
She's not looking good, but it's kind of at a standstill right now. They go to a party for Meredith's husband, and they have this like weird girl dancing in like a jacuzzi with like handicap rails. And it made no
sense. What was she even doing there?
I don't know why anybody hires like, honestly, I think every party with like weird dancers and stuff.
I think weird dancers, weird performers.
You had weird performers at your party. What the hell was that? At your Give Them Lala party, which of course I went to. Yes, it was a Weir's. I always say I'm like a Weir's Waldo person in reality shows. But I was thrilled to be invited to a party. And there were these girls that looked like broke Lady Gaga from 5 years ago. What was that?
Are you really going to put this on the show?
Who cares? They weren't bad. I just don't understand the...
No, I had no idea about them.
Okay.
That was my surprise.
I had a surprise thing that I just talked about on the show. When I was in college, I was a social chairman.
Yeah.
And this gay guy was like helping me work out the Western party. And he goes, there's a little money left. I have a surprise for you. I go, do it. Do the surprise. I'm with my date. They go, here's the surprise. And they put me in a chair, and then these gay Chippendales dancers start grinding up on me in front of all the college people. It was a disaster.
I hate that. I hate surprises. When someone says I have a surprise for you, I'm like, I don't want it.
Well, then why didn't you say it? Why didn't you say I don't want it?
I didn't know about it until they came out. Saw them when you guys saw them.
Oh, okay.
I sat in the chair not knowing what was going to happen, and then they appeared. Yeah. It was a surprise.
All right.
And I was surprised.
All right. People noticed that Meredith wore this dress, and it looked familiar because Erica Jane wore the dress.
Yeah.
Which I always find it fun when people in the Bravo universe wear similar dresses, because I feel like a lot of Bravo people either get the same stuff sent, or it's like kind of a price, you know, some people spend $10,000, like, you know,
Is this an expensive one?
I don't know how much this is, but I'm guessing maybe it was probably like $600 or $800.
Okay.
Because then this was your dress, which I loved.
Yeah.
And then I went to a Christmas party, and Crystal had the same dress on.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I like it on her better.
First of all, I want it. I think it's super flattering dress.
What is it, like Wolf and Badger or something? Is that a brand?
I don't know. Did you get it?
No, I bought it.
Oh, so you
bought the dress.
It.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it like a weird memory?
Yeah.
It is. At the premiere. I just think it's fun.
The most famous people at the premiere were my cast members.
And me.
And you. Well, no, you were the star of the whole show. Everyone knows Heather McDonald. You're a household name.
Oh, geez.
Is this?
This is... So Mary is... It's been confirmed. Not only did she not go to the reunion, the Preacher Mary.
Right.
She is... Andy confirmed that she quit. She's done.
I'm so glad.
I'm so done. Because it wasn't a fun wackadoo. It was like a horrible feeling I think she's one of the worst people ever. And the deep dives that have been going on.
Yeah,
I had said, when people are like, oh, her church is a cult in this. And I'm like, the way she must be getting her money is there must be some people that are literally signing off their house when they die. Because that's the only way she could accumulate the kind of money she has. It's not from people giving her $100 every Sunday.
Right.
It's got to be like $300,000 and $200,000. So her cousin, Dan, I think went first on Up and Adam, and now he went on Sherelle's World, two YouTubers. And telling all the tea. Now, I don't know why he didn't tell the tea that he told on Sherelle 3 weeks ago on Up and Adam, but basically, remember the Cameron guy that said, let me warn you?
That he mortgaged his house?
They were having an affair for years, according to her cousin Dan and on Sherelle's World on YouTube.
And there was that selfie.
This is it.
Yes.
So they're like, who would do, you know? So he's like, just be careful, watch out, all this stuff. Then he unfortunately died of, I don't think it was a foul play thing, but he's no longer with us, Cameron. Okay. They had an affair that her husband knew about, you know, but it's confusing because the guy, Dan, the cousin, is still like, well, there was this business of a daycare. There was this business of a this. But I don't think any of that makes money. The money is them holding down these people to believe that she's God and then, like, bullying them to give them money when they need it. Right. And I guess it's just enough people with enough properties or something. I don't know. But she is out, which I think...
It's a very smart
thing for her to do, besides the racist comments. And he also said, he goes, you know, she's illiterate. She never finished high school.
You can tell.
Again, why I'm like, really, you're clicking with Meredith? As if they're ever like hanging out and shooting the shit
She's too weird. And does she hoard?
I mean, yes, the place is awful and it's disorganized and all the items and the clothes. Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you would have sided with Jenny, the new girl, and that she said in her culture it's rude to give a gift that wasn't intended for you, like a re-gift.
So
even when it's brand new, never been worn, Louboutin shoes, who the hell cares?
No, I first of all thought the boots were tacky as fuck anyway.
Yeah.
I don't care if they have red bottoms. They were ugly.
Sometimes people are just like, but it's a... Yeah. Like, I remember I got these. My first Prada pair of shoes. I haven't had a much. But it was this little Prada boot that I saw at like, a outlet situation. Yeah. And it was like... It had a weird heel. Like, instead of the heel going like this, it went in like a little
like ice. Like a zigzag?
Yeah, and I remember I wore them, and someone was like, you with your ice, like some other comedian, like I was writing on a show, and he was like, what the fuck with those ice skating heels? And I go, they're Prada. And I'm like, yeah, you know what?
That's when you pull a Luann and you go, oh, honey, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Oh, yes. You know? Yeah. You with your Herman Munster shoes coming down. They weren't Herman Munster. They were Louis Vuitton. Well, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes, my dear.
Yes. There we go. You just nailed it. Doesn't matter. It's like the YSL, like little slip-on shoe that has the YSL as the heel.
The heel, yeah.
Not a vibe. Not a vibe. Mm. I didn't like
I always think that'd be hard to walk on. The other thing is, I have to be able to like.
I need to be comfortable in the shoe.
I need to kind of be able to walk because I got to get to that place where I have to give away the shoes that I never pick.
Yeah.
Because I look at them and it just brings, I'm like triggered by like a painful night. Mm-hmm. But they were expensive, so I won't give them away. But I never choose them.
No, never. They just sit there collecting dust.
Yeah.
But I thought it was rude to keep the receipt in to show that they were on sale.
Oh, that's what she kept the receipt in, yeah.
Like, I thought that that was, like, a shady move.
Well, I'm sorry. It's a weird fucking
face. I can't stand her.
Well, thank God she's done.
Yeah, she needs to go because she wasn't even enjoyable to watch. She never finished a thought.
No, there was
nothing. She's, like, sitting in her interviews.
And then she's, like, sleeping. Like, she was the oddest person.
And she always showed up and was talking about, like, how every party was never good enough. Where's the coat check? Where do I hang my coat? It's like,
that's why I couldn't believe that anybody.
Stop complaining. Shut up.
That's why I couldn't believe that any of these people
hung out
would want to give her. Someone, this was from Give Them Kamala, very funny Instagram account. It was Mariah Carey, and it said, and she wrote Jesus after Googling Miriam Cosby, and then it was just, I don't know her. That has got to be the worst tagline I have ever heard in my life. If you come for me, I'll send Jesus for you.
What?
Oh, hold on. Let me just text Jesus. Tell that bitch that I don't like the fact that she came to my party 12 minutes late. I think Jesus is like watching Bravo and gives a shit.
I'm going to tell you something. As a God-loving and fearing woman that Mary M. Cosby is, she should know that that tagline is sacrilegious.
It's the worst tagline ever.
Not only is it horrible, she should know better.
But I have to say, I am 99% sure if I was a betting woman, which I'm not, is the producer gave her those.
Of course.
Because
but again,
it was
Heather,
like, ooh, I got a good one for you. Mm, I like it.
Yeah, but guess what? Even when the eyes,
I know Jesus.
She does. In her mind, Jesus is her best friend.
Yeah.
She is. She gave birth to Jesus in her mind. Like, she's crazy.
No, she said when she was sleeping with Cameron, supposedly from this allegedly interview, the cousin said that she said, now you're effing God, meaning you're fucking God, because she says, I'm God.
That's so scary.
I know.
I'm so glad she's done. She shouldn't have a platform like this.
No. But I can see why they chose her, because
producer,
I'd be like, found the gold.
Yeah. You're like, she married her grandfather. Like, she's gold. Bring her on. But it got to be too much.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even interesting to watch.
No.
But by the way, a producer can come to you and say, this is the tagline. And you can say, I hate it. I'm not saying that.
Right. But of course she would love it because she's like so dumb. She's like, that's a good one. You know what I was just thinking? I had Kristen Takeman on and she was so sweet. And I was so mad I forgot to ask her. But she had the worst tagline next to this woman.
Which one was
she
it?
She goes,
but I'm pretty.
Yeah. She goes, I might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm pretty. How did you agree to that? Basically telling people that you're stupid?
I know. I hated that one. I hated that one.
I'm a dumb fuck, but I got good titties. And a mother of three.
I like that one better. I would have said, can we do that one? That one I fuck with.
I might be over you, but I've got under boob. What?
You're so good at this.
Okay, The Bachelor is on. Have you ever thought about being on The Bachelor back in the day before you got on Vanderpump?
So where there's one guy?
Yeah, it's The Bachelor.
Not The Bachelorette. I'm just
or clarifying. Either or. The franchise in general.
You couldn't pay me $1 billion to go and fight bitches for a dude.
But before you were on Vanderpump, you never thought of it.
Never.
As just a way to get into Hollywood.
Never. Okay. No. And I don't really even watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. People are obsessed with it, I know. But I just, there's something about having to fight for a guy that's like, I don't have time for this. Well, like, you either take me now or I'm out.
Well, I don't mean to brag.
Tell me.
But
are you on it? Are you in it?
Mackenzie Tobias,
okay,
my stepdaughter, is one of the talent handlers. And
is this
and
from?
A Juicy Scooper caught it from the show and sent it to me. So I can brag for a minute.
I love
that. Anyway, I was watching it.
Okay.
And there's this girl, Cassidy, and she's blonde. And it's a classic, like, I'm not here to make friends.
Right.
But this girl was, like, hardcore. And I was with my friend, Sarah Colon, who's on the show. She's married to an NFL, former NFL player. He was the Seattle Seahawks and has a bunch of rings and all that. And he was watching it with her, and he goes, this guy looks familiar. And I guess they were on a team together at one point.
Oh, he's an athlete?
He's a football player.
Okay.
Anyway, he's pretty likable so far. But this girl, they're supposed to do, like, they're supposed to build, like, these, like, little playhouses because the competition was, like, the group date was, like, oh, we want to see how you're around kids. So
okay,
get with your partner, another girl, and build, like, this playhouse. Well, she bails on her partner, this girl Cassidy. And she's like, can I talk to you for a sec? Yeah. And, I mean, she's cute, but, like, she knows how to seduce a guy. So they're sitting. She immediately starts making out with him, puts her leg over him. The other girls are, like, doing things with hammers. Then she goes again and straddles and makes out with him a second time. Then she does get the rose. And these girls are like, but you didn't finish the dollhouse. And she's like, I don't think he cares that I don't know how to make a dollhouse for a kid that's not even mine. I'm here to win this thing. And I was like, okay, this is pretty juicy.
It's juicy.
So then I wrote my daughter, and she's like, I can't tell you anything.
So oh, wow, she didn't spill any tea?
No, she's a classy production person.
Yeah, she takes her job seriously. What's the point of the dogs?
Just to turn people on, I think. I mean, who?
Underdog. He's an underdog?
Who said he's an underdog?
That's what, everyone loves an underdog. This is what the underdog looks like.
I think because he kind of got the boot from the, you know, he was
picked from the pool. Oh, he was on Bachelorette?
But he got the boot early on. So usually they pick someone that's like top three. And he was like top eight or something.
Okay, got it.
Okay, Housewives of OC, what are you feeling?
Loving it.
Okay.
Loving it so much.
Yes.
I can't stand that one, though. Who, like, Noella was crying to. She'd just been
served.
Oh,
she's not featured in this, but
she's
it's
not
Nicole.
Featured in, but her name's Nicole. Yeah,
Nicole
she dated,
James.
Like, Kid Rock.
Yes.
She's not in this picture.
Yeah.
But Noella's, like, having a breakdown, and she's, like, looking around all embarrassed. I was like, what kind of friend are you? You, like, win the worst best friend ever
but
award.
But I think part of that is she's not used to being filmed, so she's pretty awkward. And I think they were at this restaurant. I know the restaurant they were
You're dating Kid Rock at one point, and you're scared of a little attention. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
You dated Kid Rock.
But I also think Noella could have been – Noella was drunk, very drunk, I think, when she arrived.
Yeah.
And then I think – and her crying was like – there weren't real tears there. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so she was I think Noella has been was practicing to be on this show forever. I think Nicole, because I had to talk to her, and she was like, they've come to me a few times, and I decided to do it. Like, I think there's some people that have studied it. This has been their goal.
Yeah.
Sweet James, the attorney, even said, this is something she's wanted for years. In choosing our house, we had to make sure that it was like a homeowners association that would allow the filming.
Okay.
Like, so I'm not saying she wasn't truly like hurting and being drunk that day because she was blindsided by Sweet James leaving her. But I think that, I think it was weird because they weren't close. And I just think it's weird the cameras.
I thought they were super close. That was the impression when like, that's how we were introduced to Noella.
No, we were introduced to Nicole though. Through
Heather. But then the reason we knew Noella was because Nicole was like, I have this friend.
The truth
Let's
is,
get sushi or whatever.
But the truth is, Noella got met the producers because she was up Bronwyn's ass for 2 years and was featured already as Bronwyn's friend.
Has she made an appearance
Bronwyn?
Before Noella?
Yes, as Bronwyn's friend.
Last season?
Yes.
I didn't watch
Bronwyn's
last season.
Heartbroken that... You know, that her new life as a lesbian single mother living in New York can't be featured on OC.
Right. This is where Noella lost me.
Yeah.
You would think it was at the I'm upset about the tagged photo.
Yeah.
But the other day, I texted you because someone tagged me in something. And I was like, can you believe this person tagged me in this? And I felt for Noella. Yeah. And I was like, this is frustrating and annoying.
But why does that matter if you're tagged? I don't even know. Maybe I don't even know how to tell if someone tags you. Who cares?
I think it was like, this is annoying. You've never touched my face ever. Don't take credit for touching my face.
Oh, and because she was doing it.
It was like
the
a patient appreciation post.
Right.
Noella lost me when I heard that she, that sweet baby James or sweet whatever, was going to give her $2 million. And she was like, it's not enough to live in Orange County. And I wanted to say, then go get a motherfucking job.
Well, I am.
You're telling me someone is handing over $2 million and that's not enough?
I haven't worked on my impression of her, but I just felt it. Hold on.
Okay.
He was my best friend.
It's so good. Keep going.
I have a son and I have a daughter that I don't mention at all because her father won't let her be on the show. I have a mother. I have a father who is her whole life. There's nothing about her life now
it's
that she
so
can
good.
Share now.
It's so
because
good.
Like her, you know, her mom lives with her, but the mom, I don't understand. And then now this husband, sweet James, he doesn't want the kid featured, so the kid can't be featured. But she doesn't have, she can't feature her other kid because that person doesn't want. So what is your life now? But I do find her storyline juicy, so we'll see where it goes.
Her storyline is juicy, and I loved when she was on Watch What Happens Live and she was talking to sweet baby James and she was like, you want this to stop? Sign. You want it to stop?
Yeah, I like it. I liked it. I liked it.
And
then
Savage.
And then Shanna Bedore just did an interview, and she said that she definitely thought, as we all did, that Heather had practiced that ponytail scene of, if you ever come for my family or me again,
you're going to lose more than just
more.
My friendship.
It is not a threat. It's a promise.
I would have started laughing my ass off. I cannot believe that Shannon Bedore was, like, so chill. I would have started laughing.
Well, Shannon says now
that she rehearsed it in the mirror.
They rehearsed it in the mirror, but also Shannon was like, she is freaked out. Because
they have so much money?
Yeah, and it's like, she's already been through lawsuits and shit. Mm-hmm. She's already been through a divorce. And what are you going to do? Take away my lemon company or whatever she's got? Like, she was like, what are you going to destroy my company? Because she doesn't get child support, or she gets only for the twins, but only one more year of child support.
Right.
So she got a chunk from David Bedore, which, again, a lot of people are like, you don't bitch about that chunk of money you got from David Bedore. But when you think about it, like, I don't know how the money situation worked out. The point is, it's fine. Shannon should have a career. But, like, she's very dependent on this show, and she's very dependent on people buying her lemon drink. That's why I think, even if Heather never meant it and just wanted a dramatic line.
I think it was more dramatic. I think Heather and her husband, I could tell even by the way they treated Nicole.
Yeah.
Which was very strange.
Yeah.
You sued me. And then he's like, it's okay.
No, it was so, the clips of that were when she's like she's like a shell of herself. She's shaking. She's been there for 7 hours. She hasn't eaten, you know, she's had one piece of sushi or if that. And she's like shaking. And she's like, oh God, I mean, like 20 years ago, I like, you know, didn't like where my nipple was. And I dropped it since. And then like they come down. And meanwhile, he still has his like members only leather jacket on. Like never took it off. They come down, stomping down there. And they're like, but you dropped it. And then Heather's like, ha! And it was just like so like terrifying. And I was just like, I 100% think they are like this as a couple in every way, the DeBros. But it's almost like their bond of returning to OC seems so like calculated and like, this is why we're coming back. Our kids are going to have, you know, this legacy to like the little girl to sell her book, whatever. We're going to get people to see our house. We're going to get other shows coming. Like all these other, all the reasons for coming back were so far from the reasons for joining in the first place. That it just is like
I really
feels different.
Love the DeBros. I feel like they're like what I want.
I don't. I think
they seem pretty ride or die for each other.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. I think they have.
Did you go like this or like this?
No, I meant like this.
Oh,
no,
I thought you went like this.
Sorry, I meant. Together. I think 100% they're going to be together at 95.
100%. Yes.
But I'm saying because they're so together, much like a Dorit and PK, which you kind of like to see, that coming back, it's still fun to watch. But coming back, it doesn't feel as organic and stuff as when they first started.
Right.
As it shouldn't. You know how shit works now.
Totally.
And you've been on a million TV shows since before and since. And if you're going to come back and expose your life and your family and the criticism, you're going to get what you want out of it. You're going to feature the shit that you want to feature. And right. You'd be crazy not to.
I agree.
But including that speech.
I was just thrilled to see the house finally. Because, you know, they started yes. it and then all of a sudden she wasn't returning. And I was like, well, that's fine. But can the house return?
Yes. And she has a great, you know, sense of design and stuff. Like, it's fun. I mean,
I like watching her, too. Yeah. There's something very pleasing about the raspiness of her voice.
I like them back on the show. I like them personally. I think they're a solid couple. I don't care that she may have worked out that speech. We talked about it. It's you need to have these moments.
Right.
You know?
I think it would have been more of a vibe if Erica Jane hadn't kind of said the same thing to Sutton on Real Housewives of BH. It was like kind of similar.
Wait. Oh, yeah. If you, yeah, you're right.
It was a little too like, eh, you've been watching Housewives.
You know what it was like?
Housewives.
It was like when Melania Trump got criticism for stealing Michelle Obama's speech. It was just too close.
Too close for comfort.
It was just too close. Like, hey, you could have thought the same thing. They're not. You're not the first person to say it's right. not a promise. It's a threat. It's everywhere. You don't own it. You didn't trademark it. Just a little too close mm-hmm. for comfort.
That's how I felt.
Speaking of fake shit, going back to the what about jumping when they all jumped in the pool? Now we've seen this in every Housewives show, and the audience knows you got a D mic to jump, right?
You do have to demic to jump. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, how does
unless,
that work?
Unless they said to them, is there a chance you'll get in the pool? If there's a chance you'll get in the pool, they will put a condom on your mic pack.
Oh, and then it saves it?
Mm-hmm.
Do they put hot sauce in it too?
The hot sauce really saves it.
Okay, so then, all right. So it's not full demiking.
But they also don't – I mean, they were fully submerged, like, swimming. When you're fully submerged and swimming, like, it's one thing to, like, jump in and then jump out. They were swimming. I think at that point, someone would have come over, they would have demiked and put the boom in.
Okay. Well,
so
whatever. Who cares? I'm going to say right now to the producers of all shows, that's not a crazy moment to me.
It's not.
Jumping in the pool dressed – at a 3 p.m. party, which, by the way, Meredith's husband, so weird, where he's like, and Whitney's like, you're into my cleavage. I'm like, all anybody has done is talked about Meredith's weird cleavage in that one confessional look.
Yes.
People think it's a chest plate. If he does not ask that on the reunion, what the fuck was up with Meredith's cleavage?
Yeah.
In that one confessional outfit, I am going to be furious.
Why don't you write in?
Well, they already did the show.
Oh, they already did the reunion?
I don't know if I can write in, but someone clipped this and sent it to them. I'm too lazy. Real Housewives of – oh, Gina looks great. We just did a little Gina glow-up.
That glow-up is bomb.
She looks really good. Gina on Real Housewives of OC. Miami. I've been telling people, you got to watch the show.
I love
it. It is
and
good.
And I didn't even watch the previous three seasons.
You don't really have to because
it's been
have
such to.
A huge chunk of time.
Yep, you don't even have to.
Yes. Who's your who do you like? Who are you intrigued
Alexia
by?
Is my most favorite.
Yeah.
Gertie's getting annoying to me.
Yeah.
I love Lisa. Larsa's cool. But I think my favorite is what is her name? Nina? What is her name?
Who?
The
doctor?
The one that Adriana.
Oh, Adriana likes Marta, I think. Is her name Marta?
Marta,
who is a lesbian of tennis great Marina. Wait, who's the tennis star that she's has sex with? Just look up tennis
something
star
like
from
Tina or Lena or something.
Martina Navratilova. Whatever.
I would have lost my mind about Marta.
Yeah.
But her name's Marta, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, the girlfriend is Marta.
Like massaging the feet?
They have an old lesbian marriage. Like you could tell.
So they don't care?
No, I think they do. Because Martina's like, when was the last time I got a massage?
No, I know. It was very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. And then she's like, But wait, you know who's not in this photo?
Adriana.
Why is Adriana not in this photo? That's really weird.
Isn't that weird?
Especially because she was on the previous season.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the girl who does the IVs. What is that called? Where they put you to sleep for surgery?
Oh, anesthesiologist. Yeah, she's right here. She's on there. And I think she's really cute.
I think she's super cute. And I like her, the dynamic between her and her baby daddy.
Yeah, they're cool. And I mean, look, it's a beautiful setting, which mm-hmm. I do think, no offense to Dallas, but Dallas as a city just doesn't. You just don't have these great aerial shots.
No.
Like you do in New York, L.A., O.C., Miami, and even Salt Lake.
Pretty
mountains.
Salt Lake, you look and it looks gorgeous. Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Like ski slopes and right. all of the things they go and do where you're like, what is this
yeah.
underground like yoga
And they should always air
thing.
Salt Lake City like in winter months. Just they to have get to. You in the mood.
They yeah. have to. But then again, I disagree. Oh. You could even do it in the fall because then all the mountains are just like completely orange
and
red.
No, I'm saying air it.
Oh,
air it when the people are at home in the winter?
Yeah, but then they can't film in a, like when would they have to film in the spring? Would they film if
know.
It aired
well,
in the
winter?
Well,
they are airing it now and it's winter. I'm saying as you're at home there's and it's a cold right day, now. Don't you want to see cute winter scenes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
Like, I liked watching Summer House, laying in my pool, watching my TV from my pool.
Totally.
I liked watching Summer House. But now Summer House is starting, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to lay in my pool just
I've
yet.
I've never
it's
seen
January.
An episode of Summer House. Is it worth it?
Only if you're laying in your pool
it?
Drinking. But it's kind of fun. They're
okay.
fun.
It's all good. Right, I'll watch it.
Anyway, the juiciest stuff is with Alexa.
And her
whole
kids.
Story.
Yeah. Well, she was on Cocaine Cowboys because she was
her first husband
married. Yeah,
was a coke dealer.
Mm-hmm.
He went to prison. He got out, and then he went back. I think.
And they had a baby together.
What did he go back for? Will you look up? I think he like molested someone.
Oh God!
I don't know.
Sorry.
Her ex-husband.
Yes.
Her ex-husband.
Then
yeah.
she married. The other Cuban who now has died and she said it was gay and she's talked to his gay lover.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said my own father, who was this old Cuban,
was also gay. Yep.
Then she's got these two boys and one got in a lot of trouble many years ago right after the when she was on for being violent with like a homeless man.
Yes.
And she's like, he's really grown up in this and that. And then she had this tragic
thing. He also got married and divorced in that time period too.
And do you know the latest?
What?
Just arrested for domestic violence.
No.
Of a girlfriend.
No.
She was supposed to come on my show, and now they've ghosted me. And I understand why.
She's...
But
I won't
ask you about it, Alexa.
And then she also... And then her son, Frankie, was involved in the car accident.
Yeah. And that... So there was a scene between her now fiancé mm-hmm. getting very angry at the older boy who gave the 24-year-old... younger boy who is permanently brain damaged from the accident, weed,
mm-hmm.
and it affected him, and he was out of it, and they had to call the ambulance, and so they never got over it. But that scene, I thought, was so amazing because the fiance, who some people thought was harsh, because he's like, you know, he was saying, you need to get help. Like, you need to figure out a way that either he goes to a program every day or you have someone come in so that he's stimulated because the two of you don't have time to stimulate him every day and neither do I. And sometimes he'd be like, he's not my kid. And then people would get mad at that. But I get it. He's stepping in. But his intention was good. He was like, Frankie is the way he is, but maybe he could be better if he was doing more stuff. But mm-hmm. her as the mom is so protective. And then the brother wants to be a good brother, but...
And they want to treat him like a normal
right.
kid.
And he's like, I don't always want to play basketball with him. And he's like, yeah, but getting him high because you don't want to deal with him is horrible too.
I liked Todd's perspective on
it. I did too. I thought his intentions were right.
And his heart was in the right place.
It was the most real scene, a scene that we have never seen on anything before.
Because
fortunately, people don't have to deal with what she's dealing with.
No, and it was so sad to see Frankie, her older son, and Todd having the conversation, and Alexia is in the doorway.
No, Frankie's the boy, the younger son, Peter.
Peter. It was Peter
and
Todd.
And Frankie had enough understanding to know it was about him.
Yes. And he's like holding his mom and kissing her on the cheek.
Yes.
Before they joined into the conversation. It was such a sweet scene.
I'm telling you, if you have Peacock, it is definitely worth watching the show. For sure.
I agree.
He's a registered sex offender and then cocaine dealer, smuggler, and brought 75 tons of cocaine to the U.S.
Oh, lovely.
He brought 75,000 tons to her first husband.
What?
To the U.S., 75,000 tons of cocaine. Oh, just 75 tons of cocaine.
How much is that? How many truckloads?
I don't know. But then he got out of prison, and then something happened where he's a registered sex offender, but I don't know if he had to go back to prison or not. So it's like she's had her doozy of a life. So the New Jersey's coming.
I can't wait.
And this came out, Bravo by Bitches posted that Teresa went to Gia. It's 21st birthday at a nightclub with her fiance, Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And Bravo by Bitches, I think we're kind of like, you know, digging a little. They said Teresa's going to Gia's 21st birthday at the club in Miami, is giving Amy Poehler and Mean Girl vibes. But I want to say I have no problem with this.
With Teresa's outfit?
I have a problem with those green boots, but I have no problem with Teresa and the fiance going to the nightclub. Because reason she got a table at the nightclub is because of Teresa. And Teresa and Louis want to party, want to have some fun.
She deserves that.
Me too.
She
agree.
Has been the cookie cutter Italian mom, wife, her baby or her firstborn is turning 21. That bitch deserves to go with her new boo to the nightclub and live it the fuck up.
You know, I think that Teresa got a late in life nose job.
I think she got a nose job too.
And I said, go for it.
I think she looks really good. And I think
she
looks happy.
Good and happy. Now, some people have their concerns about this cat because he's been engaged a bunch of times and former fiancés have come out. But, you know, sometimes people meet their match. I hope it works out. Well, I hope they have fun.
I hope that too. But I think don't ignore the red flags.
Yeah,
don't ignore the red flags.
Don't ignore the red flags. Don't ignore the patterns.
Mm-hmm. Do not ignore the patterns.
Yeah.
That is imperative.
But in the meantime, go to Miami and rip it at the club.
I agree.
I'm going to Vegas this weekend.
Is this a cool club to be at?
I can't say that my old ass might not be at a nightclub, so I'm not about to criticize Teresa.
Can I tell you what I'm doing this Saturday?
No, you can't.
With my girlfriends?
I don't care. Just kidding. Yes, I want to know. What?
We planned this on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That we are going to a nightclub, whatever is popping. I guess my friend's reaching out to see where the cool spot is on Saturdays. The club doesn't open until 11:30. We'll see if I make it. But I told all my bitches, get ready because we're going to a nightclub. It's Mama's night out.
First of all, I'm so sad that I'm not here this weekend because we're recording this before this airs Tuesday. So the weekend will have ended.
You told me that you're going somewhere.
I'm going to Vegas to party like Teresa.
Yeah, but you told me this a while because I would have invited
you. You wouldn't have invited me. It would have been an awkward moment right now.
I'm inviting everybody.
Well, I can't go.
I already know that. You told me you were going to Vegas.
No, I didn't, but whatever.
We talk on the phone, Heather. What are you talking about? She's like, we never speak.
Listen, I'm very excited for your wicked weekend.
Yeah.
When this airs, hopefully you'll be splattered all around paparazzi, Lala, just looking hot.
I just want to look hot and look at hot
Or
boys.
It'll be just a photo of you in the club asleep.
Like Kim Kardashian on SNL. That'll be me.
Yeah, 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 totally. I don't know how. Now, how are you going to plan out? Let me talk to people that go out like this. Do you take like a wicked nap from like?
Yes.
Like full pajamas, maybe 3 to 7 nap.
So I think that I'm going to take a magnesium around like 1. Then I'm going to take a solid nap. I'm going to wake up, have an espresso.
Yes.
Then we're going to leave the house at 8 to get to an 8:30 dinner.
Okay.
It'll be like a long dinner, drinks, and then I pray to God that I'm not like a baby after a bottle. And I'm like, well, tummy's full, time for bed.
Because I mean, I do that when I go to stand-up. Like, I take a nap, and then I wake up, and I, like, have a coffee, and, you know. But I don't know how I'm going to do it when I'm in Vegas. Like, I'm going to Vegas early Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going, and then, so I told my friend who's going there Thursday, I'm like, so let's shop, let's have a cute lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to, like, I have to work out a nap situation.
Yes, you have to have a nap.
And then start getting cute at, like, 6.
Yes.
Okay, and then...
And then you go do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And my mom is the one that planned this for me with Jax Taylor.
Okay.
They both said, Jax is keeping Cruz, my mom's keeping Ocean, and they are sending us...
Oh, so Brittany and everybody's going?
We're all
going. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay, this is good. I cannot wait. Well, we all have known about it by now, so hopefully it works out.
Briefly. I hope it works out.
Lala, everyone follow Lala on all your Instagram. Get the book. Listen to the podcast and just
follow me.
Just be a powerhouse.
Just
girl.
Be a powerhouse. Thank you.
Thank you. So now with my very juicy, very interesting interview with actress Charlotte Kirk. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I've got a very interesting guest. Actress, came from over the pond, Charlotte Kirk, I'm excited to have you here because I have talked about you in the past. So some people might go, why does that name sound familiar? Besides you being a working actress, and we're going to get into all the juicy movies you've done. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm excited to have you. We got connected through Troy Jensen, who is the image maker, does our hair, makeup. You look gorgeous. You said you just saw him. So I love what he did with your
Thank
look.
Thank you, Troy.
And... But I was intrigued because a story that was written about you was in Hollywood Reporter, and I was just fascinated by it because it really was a story of a young girl pursuing acting that you basically got caught up in these major, major studio head power player people. And it was really eye-opening to how this type of stuff works. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't really talk about it, which I understand because there's stuff going on. But I just kind of wanted to get your feeling because this happened to you when you were so young. Like, can you tell me a little bit about your life and acting and pursuing coming from England to here and as much as you can share?
So, yeah, I came to LA when I was 19 years old. I always knew this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an actress. And someone said to me when I was just finished drama school in the UK, someone said to me, if you want to be an actor, go to the States. So I was like, okay. So I literally packed my bags, didn't know anyone, and I just went on a plane and went to LA.
And so did you have funds? Like, how did you find an apartment?
So before that, I was modeling in London and Europe. I had an offer with a modeling agency in Paris, and it was like, oh, should I go to Paris and do modeling, which I didn't really want to do, but I thought that could be another way into acting, or do I go to the States? I was like, yeah, LA is my dream. I want to go to LA and I want to do this. So I went to LA. I had rented on Airbnb a tiny studio apartment in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive, and yeah, when I was 19.
So you really didn't know, but you didn't have a girlfriend to call?
No, literally didn't know anyone. And I got here and, oh gosh, I was a baby. I was 19. I thought I knew everything. And like you do when you're 19. And I didn't. And, you know, I had some good experiences and I had some awful experiences. And I really did end up in the lion's den and got in some really terrible situations, but, you know,
and
got myself in a pickle.
Like, I can't imagine because I grew up here, so I don't even know where you begin, like, in finding a place to live as you did and kind of navigating. But one thing I found sort of in your story is that you were kind of bold and, like, trying to get work and, you know, and pursuing, which you have to do. People don't realize, like, you, first of all, you have to believe, like, you're the best because no one else is. And then, you know, and really put yourself out there with trying to meet agents and trying to get people and, you know, network.
But I didn't know about the casting couch. I didn't know about any of this. I didn't know anything. No one taught me anything. No one said, this is what you've got to do. You've got to do this. I just was 19. I had no friends, no family. I came here on my own. And
some of the first people you meet present themselves in a way that they're looking out for you. And you're like, wow. And they're really not.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's very hard, I think, when you're trying to pursue something and you don't have any nepotism and you're not even from this country.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to go into it, but like, I'm 19, but I'm on the autism spectrum as well. Like, talking to me now, and I'm, you know, I've learned the hard way, and wisdom is a great thing, right? Hindsight is a great thing, but 19, it was like talking to, it's another person. I didn't even, you know, it was just so different.
I actually thought that was really interesting when I read that. Then, now, were you diagnosed as a child with autism?
So I was diagnosed as a child, but acting really helped me overcome it. Like, as a child, I had a lot of support. I had social workers, I had help in school because I'm dyslexic as well. And yeah, it was really hard growing up. But I knew acting is what I wanted to do, and it was something that kind of acting just got me out of this. Oh, it's really hard to explain.
Did you have that part of autism where, like, the social cues had to be sort of taught?
Yeah. Terrible at social cues. Couldn't look people in the eye. Didn't think before I spoke. So got myself in terrible situations as a child. Embarrassed the hell out of my mum. And acting was my escapism. Acting was something that I felt comfortable, something that made me feel normal. Mm-hmm. And that's what I knew I wanted to do.
And so do you think when you came here, and I don't know that much about autism, but I remember thinking, oh, I wonder, you know, taking things maybe differently than someone else would, or literally, also didn't help your situation with these people taking advantage of you.
Absolutely not. When they say, I want to be your friend, I want to help you, I believe that when someone tells me that, when I was 19, not now.
Yeah.
You believe that. You take people for their words. My mum always says, the thing is with you, you believe everyone. You're very vulnerable. Or you were very vulnerable.
Right.
And you trust. She always says, you trust too many people, Charlotte. You trust the wrong people and you trust everyone, and I shouldn't.
Well, I think you had like several things going against you.
Yeah.
You know, not only did you, you know, have the autism, which you're working out, but still, I mean, but it's also really wonderful for parents that might have a child with autism to see you today, with the proper guidance and help and everything, that like you're successful, you're in a relationship, you're doing all these movie roles, like, you know.
Perseverance.
Yes.
No and failure is not an option. It's like, you know, these people, they pulled a lion's tail. They didn't know. And they just thought, they picked on the wrong person. They just thought, I was just going to whimper off in the shadows. What I have to say is, I would say the biggest revenge is success.
Yes.
And they just think, I'm going to just stop and not fight for my name and fight for my career. And I'm just going to just go back to England
and crawl
back to England. Absolutely.
Which is what all in so many other cases was the MO. When an actress was treated wrongly, they would either say, shut up or we're going to ruin
blacklist
your career.
You. Yep, yep.
Or actually, we're just going to blacklist you now because we're afraid that you might get in a room and tell the story.
Yeah. Suppression. They really wanted to suppress you.
Yes, exactly. That is what I always felt.
String you along. Make sure you're not going to, you know, tell the truth. And they'll string you along. And then,
The thing that always bothered me so much about Louis C.K., who's a comedian, who everyone I really enjoyed as well. But when I heard that, you know, he exposed himself to these girls at a comedy festival, and they were two comedy writers. And after that, it was like they couldn't get any deals. And then it was sort of revealed later that he went to powerful people and was like, don't hire them because he was afraid they'd be in a writer's room.
That sounds very familiar to me.
They would be in a room with other writers. And what writers do is they tell stories. And I've been in writer's room, and you do tell stories about other people, and you do tell your juicy stories or whatever. Awful. And so he just didn't even want them to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And in some cases with him, some people are like, what he did wasn't that bad. But me as a female writer, knowing that all of a sudden someone was interested in my work or whatever, and then it just shuts down, and you never know. You're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. Or the audition stopped. Yeah, something
or
happened.
I was working on this show, and they had me back every year, and now no one will take my call. What the hell was it? And it's the sometimes it's
awful.
The hardest mystery to figure out.
But in this town, it's almost accepted. Like, you know, I would say that, you know, the most powerful, well-connected, predatory, manipulative people. But it's kind of accepted in this town. Mm-hmm. It's almost like practically a badge of honor. Like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we know that happened. It's just, I don't know. It's just the boys' club, isn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, it's nice to see that other things, which is what is great about the way media is expanding, and like, because we're not so dependent on these, you know, 5 or 10 men to say yes, you know, but it still exists and it is hard. And then you think, oh my gosh, exactly, this person's my friend, this person's going to help me. And, you know,
the opposite.
Yeah, quite the opposite. But you've done some really great work since. So tell me about this. You won an outstanding performance for Best Actor in 2020. What movie was this?
So,
The Reckoning.
Yeah, that was for The Reckoning that I co-wrote with my fiancé, Neil Marshall, and produced and starred in. And we wrote three films back to back. The Reckoning, The Lair that we just shot, and Duchess that we're about to shoot. And yeah, we shot it in 2019. No, sorry, it came out in 2019. We shot it a year before. It's about the plague. didn't know the COVID was going to happen. It came out during COVID, but it came out during COVID, which was, you know, wasn't very great. But
yeah,
it was good. You know, we were super proud of it. It was like the second highest grossing film of that weekend, and you know, a lot of people like it. It's a young woman being falsely accused by very powerful men.
So, oh, really? Mm. Now, where can we see it now?
Oh, it's on Amazon.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, RLJ. So,
yeah, awesome.
Shot in the UK.
And then these are some shots that our guy Troy Jensen did. I love your look. It's like very cute 60s look. Okay, now this one I want to talk about because I remember reading in the article. I was like, wow, this sounds juicy too. Yeah. So you play Nicole Brown Simpson in this movie that kind of took the story and kind of rewrote what explain it to me, because I was about OJ and Nicole Brown Simpson.
So the writer director who was researching living this for many years believes O.J. Simpson's innocent, and he was set up and he was framed, the framing of O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's the name of the movie. Okay.
Yeah. We shot it in Bulgaria, and it was weird going into the house because everything was built. It looked like you were walking into Rockingham. It looked
really?
Like it was, and it was creepy. It was surreal. I'm really proud of it.
I mean, you really look like her there.
Yeah, I know. I know. I lived for that one for quite a few years. So as he was doing the research for it, I mean, he spent like 3 years researching it. I was living it with him. He was writing it as well, we were going through the whole process. And that's a story in itself.
And so that came out, and how?
No, it hasn't come out yet.
Oh, it hasn't.
Hasn't come out yet.
Because I'm like, I really want to watch this.
Yeah, that hasn't come out yet.
Do you know when it might come out?
So he wants to finish that this year, so COVID.
Are you done filming it, or you still have to go back and film?
Still got to shoot some things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it probably won't be out for like next to like year or so.
Oh my god!
I know.
And are all the players in it? Like, is there a Robert Kardashian?
Yeah. Faye Resnick and
there is.
Oh yeah,
and
Chris Jenner.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are some? So, is there anybody other names that play some of the main players.
I mean, so Boris Kodjo playing OJ. We've just got uncanny, incredible lookalikes for the roles. Mm-hmm. But there's one role that we're, because obviously we've only shot half the film, the other half we're actually, we're waiting for a big name for that role. We're still casting that.
So. Okay.
Yeah, Douglas McCann, who sued Verizon Phone Records, who didn't release the phone records that prove that O.J. Simpson absolutely couldn't have done it.
Oh, so that's what this is kind of like. Yeah, his and then flashbacks hinging on
partly that, partly some other theories, and then flashbacks to Nicole and OJ. So yeah, it's like two movies in one. It's a big epic. It's,
yeah, because this is this photo I have of you. That's her on her wedding night.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they got you like the exact dress, yeah, the exact hair,
everything.
Wow. Were you very familiar with the story before doing it?
Not really.
Because like, you're too young. Yeah, like, you didn't live through it.
UK,
yeah.
Not really. But then moving to LA and then literally living it when he was doing the research. And, you know, I lived in Brentwood for a while.
Yeah.
It's just absorbing the life. Yeah, it was surreal. But yeah, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of that film. Like, what I've done so far.
I was obsessed because I lived in Brentwood at the time.
Oh.
And
wow.
And then I rented a house right around the corner, so people would like park in front of my house to go and take photos of the condo, which then they changed the address and everything. And every day, you know, there'd be another story, another tabloid, another theory, because the world was just obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And you know, it was like the
trial of the century.
The first day I even met Kris Jenner and Courtney, we went to lunch. This is like, I don't know, 17 years ago or something. Yeah, about 16 years ago. And it was like the first thing I asked them.
Do you think he did it?
Yeah, I was like, what was that?
I'm not saying this, but the writer-director would say, they know the truth. And they're saying what they want to say.
Well, the thing that was so interesting that they said is, Courtney said, well, we were teenagers and we felt like no one was on our dad's side, who was Robert Kardashian, yeah, who was somewhat representing OJ. So she's like, so we chose to be on our dad's side. And it was very awkward then for Kris, who they had a very amicable divorce. They didn't have an amicable divorce, but at that time they were amicable and they were good about sharing the kids. And she was already married to Bruce Jenner at the time and pregnant, I think, with Kendall. And so this was just a very horrible thing that they had to navigate. And then even when they would like exchange the kids, they'd have to pick different places all the time because the news people would be following them.
Oh, awful.
And it was just, yeah, so I mean, look, there's still speculation about it, and there's still speculation about OJ's son and his involvement.
Yep, that's
and
a theory.
The older son.
That is a theory. And the producer was trying to get me a meeting with OJ when he was in prison, like 5 years ago. That was going to happen, then it didn't, because when he was in Nevada, and now he's out.
And do you think you'll meet with him now?
Who knows? I'd love to. Yeah, I would. It's weird. Yeah. I feel not close to him, but some kind of weird connection because of...
I think you should. I mean,
amazing.
You know, it's just like, why not? Like, you're playing this role.
Playing the love of his life.
Yeah. And have you spent hours, like, watching home videos and all the stuff that has been collected? And
the 911 call. That was tough because I redid that whole
911
call.
Oh, you have to redo that scene.
Yeah, that was tough.
She's calling from the green... What was the street? Green?
Gretna Green,
yeah. And she's calling from there.
And OJ's banging on the door, and you can hear him screaming and shouting in the background.
And then she's like, but you guys won't do anything. And yeah.
That was tough.
Well, yeah.
It was surreal.
Well, I'm excited for that. Okay, so that's coming up. This was you at Ocean's 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is from The Reckoning. This is from, there you go.
It's interesting. So, yeah, The Reckoning, we shot that before COVID, and it was a film about the plague.
Yeah.
And the film that we just finished shooting, called The Lair, is about insurgents in Afghanistan. We were shooting that as the outbreak was happening in,
Oh, really? Weird. Oh, here you are with The Lair.
Yep. There we are.
Yeah, so wait, and this is about the outbreak of what?
So this is set in Afghanistan.
Oh, of what year? Like
2014.
Oh, okay.
Nope. 17? So this is set in Afghanistan in 2017.
Oh, okay.
And think of it like Alien meets Predator.
Oh, okay.
So I play a fighter pilot who crashes down in Afghanistan and finds an underground Russian bunker, and there are scary monsters down there.
Oh, really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's terrifying. It's really, really fun. It's a fun movie. So Neil Marshall, who's the writer, co-writer, director, he did Dog Soldiers. That's like a real cool classic. And it's very similar to that, Dog Soldiers and The Descent. You know, he's a master at horror. So it's a fun movie, though. It's horror, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good one. And then what we're just about to film, what we're shooting in the next few months, is called Duchess. It's a female gangster movie.
Oh, really?
So we're sitting there one day in London.
Like of what year? During what time period?
So Scarface is our inspiration.
Yes.
So we're sitting there in London. I was like, you know what? Like, we love the brilliant 80s, 90s movies, like Goodfellas, Scarface, all the classics. I was like, but there hasn't been a badass woman gangster. I want to see that. And then that's how Duchess kind of come about.
And are you writing that as well?
We co-wrote that. It's finished. We're shooting in April, May.
So, I mean, do you feel like had this situation at the beginning of your career not happened, and maybe you got a part here and you got to be on a drama on TV, and then you got something else, do you look back now and be like, you know, I was kind of forced to have to, like, create my own projects?
Yeah.
And
what happened to me certainly didn't help me. It's had to make, you know, I had to fight for my name, fight for my career, and make everything 10 times harder to show the world who I really am and what I'm about. And I'm not this thing that's,
no, I'm saying, know. It didn't help you.
No.
But sometimes what I found in my life and career too, that sometimes the worst thing, you look back later on, you're like, not that anything bad is meant to happen, but like, if that didn't happen, I probably wouldn't have been able to have to create my own projects and my own stories because no one else was going to cast me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just wasn't going to be this young ingenue that got to be cast in all this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true.
I think that's pretty impressive that you, like, thinking about movie ideas and actually writing them. I mean, that's really impressive.
The more rejection I get, the more shit that's out there, the more negativity, it just drives me even more to go, screw you, I'm going to prove all you motherfuckers wrong. Am I allowed to swear?
Yes, yeah.
So, yes. I'm going to prove you wrong and just keep going. And eventually, hopefully, very soon, sooner rather than later, they're going to go, oh, wow. Oh, she's that, yeah, that's all bullshit, whatever that was, whatever. She's good, you know, and we like her movies and we like her stuff and she's really cool and she's not what this, you know, tabloid shit, you know, what they're saying about her. That's something else. That's a false narrative. This is the truth. Look at her.
I mean, you've proved yourself. You're proving yourself.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. It's like you knew you wanted to be this. And, yeah, like, so screw them for acting like, you know, you didn't play by our game.
Yeah.
And, you know, so go do something else. No, it's like, and I do think that, you know, what's great is that one, you can rise up. Well, obviously you did nothing wrong, but I'm saying, like, you can create a new narrative and it won't be something that anyone even talks about or remembers. It'll just be Charlotte Kirk from this, you know, great movie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting in a few years or whenever it will be. You know, when I'm promoting a movie, someone will talk about it. And I've had that before when I've been promoting my previous film. Someone might mention it and I'll talk about it a little bit. And then, but hopefully it'll be like, oh, do you remember that? Oh, yeah, that thing. But hopefully it won't be about that. It'll be about the film. And, oh, she was, didn't she do that thing about 20 years ago, 10 years
ago?
Right, yeah. Yeah, whatever. Like, yes. It's crazy.
And so do you have traditional representation right now?
I don't, actually, no. I have my own production company. Which
that's
is even
the way
better,
to go.
Which is Leonardo DiCaprio has his own production company.
Right.
Nicole Kidman has her own production company.
Yes.
Woman boss.
Do you, I kind of see you like a Nicole Kidman. Do you relate to her?
Yeah. I'd love to have her career. I mean, yeah. Amazing.
Right.
And, you know, she found Tom Cruise and they did some amazing films together and they rose and collaborated together. And that's kind of how I feel with Neil.
Yeah.
You know, we're just collaborating together and he's, you know, allowing me and trust me to make all these great films with him.
And you're engaged, yes?
We are engaged. We was going to get married last year, but COVID happened and then we made movies and life got in the way. But we did say this year, but we're aiming for that.
Well, just when you think it's going to work out, then there's some other...
I know.
Whatever. Like, you just got to live your life.
I know.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Yes. And I'm sure that's been a challenge too with all the... Yeah. Testing and all that stuff and how strict they have to be and keep your stuff going.
And shooting these films during COVID, it's been difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult. You know, like productions closing down and stuff. You've heard that. But yeah. Thank God that hasn't happened with our films. So I'm just going to keep going. Got a lot of
stuff. So where is your home now? Where do you live?
So we got a house in the UK. We bought a house last year in Kent, where I'm from. But just LA keeps drawing me back. I know Neil prefers the UK. I love the UK and I love being in the country where we are. We're not in London. We're like an hour in the country. The Garden of England, very beautiful, very green. But I need a little bit of life. And LA, Kent's great and it's lovely and it's quiet. But then I need a bit of something going on as well.
And as an English girl, what has been your relationship with the royal family and the tabloids and all of that, because it's pretty fascinating, especially with
the controversial Meghan. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your thought? What were your thoughts?
It was amazing that Meghan, like an American and, you know, the royal family, they kind of got together. I think that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
How they merged and brought the countries together. The royal family. Yeah.
Like, what did you think? Like, growing up now, I mean, you're probably a little bit too young, but like when you're growing up as an English girl, you're 28. How old is Harry? Is he like 40? I mean, was there a time where like you and your friends would be like, oh, I could maybe marry Harry. Like, would you think about it? Like, I mean, you would almost like a pop star. You know how like when you're a kid, you like a...
Where I'm from, like, I don't know if you can hear from my accent. I'm not typical British RP. You know, I'm a little bit of Cockney, you know, Southeast London, you know, like Adele, that kind of vibe. Yeah. So I wasn't all about the royal family growing up. It's like, yeah, whatever. Because when you're British, it's like, whatever, they're there.
Right. You don't think about it.
When
like
you have
that.
It, it's like, great. Yeah. You don't appreciate it as much, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you think it was a bad thing or what was the feeling when they left? When they left to come here?
Oh, gosh. It's kind of sad because, like, you should be here because you belong here because you're all. But then it's like me, like,
yeah.
Who am I to say, you know, I've got to be here. I want to be there. If you want to, you're a free spirit. If you want to be somewhere, go where you want to go.
Yeah.
Right. And Harry shouldn't be. He has to be in the UK. If he wants to be here, be here. It's no place like LA.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's going to get juicy over there. The latest with Prince Andrew.
Oh, God, no. Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew. So today they said, even though his lawyers tried to stop the lawsuit from Virginia Guffrey, who, you know, said that she went to the nightclub with him and was trafficked by him, the court said today in New York, no, the case can go forward, so she can sue him. And then apparently the queen is like, I'm not paying for your defense. And this is all happening when they're doing this big celebration for her.
Do you know who represents him?
Prince Andrew? Oh, I don't know. We could probably look it up. But I mean, it's major attorneys.
It's the same attorney with...
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's certain attorneys...
I think he represented Bill Cosby as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. Yes, there's certain attorneys that...
represent perpetrators.
Yes, this is really their little niche. Some people... You know how to do a personal injury case, and then other people know how to be with pervs.
Bury stories, and let's change the narrative and get the narrative out there. Make a whole load of bullshit and pay the press to write what we want to write.
Yes, you're right. You know what? I think I looked this up, and there were all these names of all the same people.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That all these people that this particular person or firm does. Yeah. Well, he didn't win today, so it is going forward.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, yeah, Bill Cosby's out, isn't he?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. On a, what is it?
Why did he get
technicality.
Out? Oh.
With technicality.
Well, I'm worried about Ghislaine because there's this juror now that, like, went on a press tour and they're trying, her defense is trying to say that they, the conviction should be thrown out for,
because of that,
jury miss whatever, messing up. But then this woman that I interviewed, I was watching a video she did recently because she did a whole deep dive on it. I have to get deeper into it, but there's a whole backstory about who that person is. That actual juror has some connection to some other stuff.
Should they do almost the research? Like a plant, don't they, like, test all, they do the research with the jurors first?
I don't know. That, like, this might have been thought out before. Like, go do this because then it'll be jury – what do you call it? Jury miss – like, not like misbehavior. It's not jury misbehavior, but it's like when a jury, misbehaves or whatever, does the wrong thing, then there's a reason that the whole thing can be thrown out. Because I honestly was like sort of surprised. I was like, finally, something's happening. And now this is being talked about. So I don't know.
Misconduct.
Jury misconduct. That's right.
Jury misconduct.
I was close. Jury misbehavior sounded a little weird. Well, I'm so glad that you guys took come here.
Oh, my God.
And I'm excited to see all these movies and follow you. And when this thing is a little more resolved,
I would love to come back and tell you everything. Okay, so there is a law out there that says NDAs that are related to sexual harassment are illegal. Senator Leahy put this law out there. It's called 1001. It's not allowed. So I'm currently in the Court of Appeal. I didn't lose, but the judge said he doesn't have the jurisdiction, basically. So I'm fighting that law. It's out there. I'm allowed to say that. I had a GoFundMe page to help me, you know, because lawyers are very expensive. And I'm in the Court of Appeal. So I'm going to be the test case for that law. So when this comes out and I win, I will be pretty groundbreaking, because that means the floodgates are going to open.
Wow.
So all the NDAs with all the perpetrators have all these victims tied up, we'll be able to speak.
Oof.
So it's a big thing.
And do you have any idea when?
It'll be resolved definitely this year.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yep. Yeah. So I've got some other things. So, you know.
So when that happens, you're coming back on Juicy Scoop first.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And then we're really going to talk the scoop. And then you said, let's make it a movie.
It could be. It could be a movie. My life could be a movie.
Definitely.
Not saying particulars, but, you know.
I think so. Thank you so much.
Thank you.